Thank you, Jake, very much. Well, Mrs. Zebedee came to your school and the school you're associated with and wherever you live, and she had two sons, James and John, and she told the principal, you know, I would like my two sons to be the two greatest students in your school. Would that be possible? One valedictorian, one salutatorian. And before we do that, the children who want to go to the children's church, you can be dismissed. We're late on that. Apologies to you all. Thank you for... If I didn't see a few panicked adults there, I would have forgot. But that was really the shock to the other disciples, as Mrs. Zebedee said, can James and John be considered on your right and left hand, Jesus, to be considered great? And so the definition, what do you do to be a great follower of Jesus? What does that mean? And this topic came up before with the disciples when in Mark chapter 9, Luke chapter 9, they had a discussion among themselves as to which one was the greatest. So it's a real human trait to try to say, okay, what's it mean to be great? And whatever it is, I'm probably that. You know, I'm probably great. This was the disciples' mindset, and James and John and their mom. But Jesus answers them and says, to be great is to be a servant. Which is, you say the word servant, there's not a lot of pizzazz in that word. There's a lot of sweat. There's a lot of hard work. There's a lot of unnoticed times. It's just doing what God calls us to do. And even to that extent, considering ourselves unprofitable servants. As Jesus said, you know, even if you did everything you're supposed to do, you should consider yourself an unprofitable servant. So that James and John, they're learning from the Lord. He says in the old children's song, in order to be, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. So that's a great call in our lives. And because Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve, give his life for you and me. In the Old Testament, the Messiah is often connected to the theme of being a suffering servant. He gives his life in our place. That's a big sacrifice, the one that would put us right with God. And so for James and John, hey, can you take a cup of suffering if you want to serve? If you want to be great? And even the Father is going to pick that in the end. But serving is a wonderful thing. And mostly the serving that we do with the Lord happens throughout the week, I would think you would agree with. When people ask me, what's so great about a church or this particular church, I say it's how people serve God and others throughout the week. I usually don't say it's the 1 hour during Sunday school or it's the hour of choir practice and the 5 minute song. That's not what makes great servants. Okay, we're thankful for those things. But that's only a very small, small part of our lives. Our service to Christ is really throughout the week where we walk with God, serve other people in His name, okay, in the home, in the community, where we work. That's to honor God the most in that way. So it's a wonderful thing. We're thankful for the people who do serve when we gather, because no labor is in vain. But in our church, there's like, we'd say, openings in every area of service. If you went through the list, you would see about 20 areas where people serve. Greeter, first person you see. Usher, okay, helps you honor the Lord in offerings. Sound room people, thank you very much. Okay. There would be dart ball, prayer shawl, two totally different creatures. Dart ball, rough guys who throw sharp things at the wall. Prayer shawl, dear ladies who make beautiful things and pray. Notice the contrast. But good things happen when the guys come to in their serving. Serving from the Sunday school, Awana, you could serve by loving children in that way. There are people who serve in music, keyboard, and so forth. play the instrument, honor God. So many ways to serve. It's like unbelievable. And if you took a typical week, September through November in our church, just a typical week, and say, how many people are serving in some capacity in the course of 7 days? You would be surprised to find it would be about 100 people. 100 people. That's incredible. That's pretty much everybody in the sanctuary here, you know. And you don't have to be one of them, because you're serving God by coming and praising His name. But the amount of serving that happens in a local church like ours and others, I'm sure, it's truly, you give the Lord a lot of credit that He put people together to honor Him in such a fantastic manner. And it's a sign of His greatness, I think we would say. One thing about serving God, both throughout the week and when we gather, is to know this, that broken people make good servants. Okay, broken people make good servants. I've noticed when people sing, or maybe give a Sunday school lesson, or are a greeter, or something like that, and they are going through a very difficult time. Maybe they're fighting an illness. Maybe recently they lost a loved one, or just, you know, transition, loss of job. Normally, when they serve, they are very, very effective. Okay, because their hearts are open. They're not relying on themselves at that point. They realize, hey, God's my strength, and I just need Him to take the next step, and I'm here to bless somebody else. You take a ministry, for example, like Women's Choice Network, pro-life ministry for mums and little ones. Their best counselors are ladies who have had abortions. Okay, that's a sad thing that would be a part of them. But because they know what it's like from beginning to end, they've gone through the pain of the whole time, and the wishing things could have been different, and wanting to be different. They are very, very effective. Broken people are really good at serving. So when God calls you to serve throughout the week in the home, at work, or in church, don't ever think, as soon as I get my act together, I'll serve good. Okay? Two things. You'll never get your act together, number one. And number two, if you did have your act together and you served, you would stink. Okay? Because you'd be relying on yourself instead of relying on the Lord with a lot of love and compassion to other people, which He would give you in serving. So serving is a wonderful thing, and you serve because Jesus serves. If you trust Him, you're going to want to do that. First time I served, it was singing at a nursing home. I never sang with a group, you know, hardly ever in my life. There I was. Another one was going to another home where people were infirmed and just visiting strangers I didn't know. But God can do things when you're just available. Romans 12 talks about how we serve. We're members of one body, so we're like a team, but much better than a team. If, let's say, we're the Pittsburgh Pirates, and somebody says, okay, great to have you on the team. Everybody who wants to pitch, come over here. And all of us lined up to be a pitcher, we would be a horrible team. Okay, be a horrible team. Because we don't just need all pitchers. You need the catcher, shortstop, first base, outfield, etc. People getting ready to come into the game and do all that. That's you in God's church. You have a calling. There's something you could do that's almost, nobody else can do it as good as you. Nobody else can sing your song as well as you could sing it. Okay, that's your calling. So you the little light of yours is the Lord, and you let it shine when you serve. So keep serving, and God calls you to that. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Jesus. You belong to one another. And hopefully the attitude we have is, here am I, send me. Or, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That's the attitude, again, when we gather, or especially 95% of our serving is throughout the week. And here's the gifts that Paul happens to mention that glorifies God and blesses others. There's others. Preaching is giving God good news to people. Sometimes you do it with one of these in front of you. And sometimes you do it just by what you talk to others about the Lord. And in the Bible, interesting, the word preaching is tied in with the phrase good news. Now, I don't know what you think about when you think about the word preaching, but I know what God thinks about when he uses the word preaching. He thinks about giving good news about his son and asking people, you know, turn to him, believe him, and follow what he says. That's the gift of preaching. Some of you do that with a pulpit in front of you, but hopefully with your life and with your words, you're confident to do that. There were a lot of preachers in the Bible who didn't have a pulpit. Thankful for that. And then the gift of serving. That's like, I'll do whatever the Lord wants. Soldiers do this, and we admire them for it. I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. You just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. That, Paul said, be like a soldier following the Lord. The Lord's wonderful to give us that attitude. Teaching, taking something from God and making it easy to understand. We teach by example. We teach by word and precept. Our example is actually stronger than standing in front of the class. It really is. So look for that example. You be the example. You'll be a good teacher. And then encourager. Make strong. You can do that by praying for people. You could be an encourager at work. You don't have to go around and say, I'm praying for people today. Anybody, can I pray for you about something during this week? That's good if you do. You could just pray for people. They don't even have to know. Bring an encouragement to their life. God will make them open to Him. Giving, the gift of giving. What God has given us, we pass on. Gift of leading. That's a good gift. Helping others serve God. Mercy. Popular gift of letting people know, hey, God forgives. He's going to help. And I wanted to just move to the conclusion. God will help you with the personality He gave you. Maybe we'll use the, let's call it Bring a Friend Day for now. When there's an event happening at the church or in your home, a line is needed. Let's stick with the home right now or at work. At work, lunch is being served. You're a part of it. And somebody spills the lunch tray and all the food goes on the floor. What does the lions do? The lions, they don't eat the food. What they do is say, I'll call the catering. And they'll get another batch here right away. And they start giving directions. You, Joe, get a broom. And you, Mike, make sure everybody's okay. And you, Mary, pass out some Kleenex. There's people crying because we're really hungry and so forth. But the lions are taking charge. They're decisive. They're verbal. If that's you, that's great. Be a lion. But as you're a lion, don't forget to listen. Lions are not good listeners. Okay, because they feel like God told them everything. No. God helped you to help others. Otter. I think King David had an otter. When the tray spills at work or in the home, what the otter does in their personality is they say, hey, it's picnic time. Let's just all sit on the floor and, whoop it up. Look, the ketchup and mustard are mixed. We'll just dip it in right here and make it good. Make it fun. And we need otters in the church. Everybody who came to the Friday night game time were otters. If you want to know who they are, just go and be with them. They do add a bit of joy to what's going on. Companion dog. What does a companion dog do when there's a crisis? He says, is everything okay with everybody? Is anybody upset at this point? If you are, I'll come and make sure you're okay. Here, let me get you. a companion dog's very steady, very supportive, very consistent. We have a lot of companion dogs in the fellowship. They're really good. You know, they keep everybody like, hey, it's going to be okay. You know, Jesus is still Lord. If you serve like that, that's great. Don't be afraid to take initiative. And then the worker bee, doing things in an orderly, precise, analytical way. Our church has a history of worker bee leadership. Okay? It's just the way it happened. Do it this way, and this is the way you do it. And if you do it any other way, you're basically a sinful slob, you know. Worker bees are very, very much needed. Without worker bees, it would be chaos. And worker bees can learn that life is not perfect, but you could still work for excellence. Okay. And that's what you do. But a word about work and then a prayer, because the food is upon us. Coming. When you go to work in the home, at your job, and in church life, be thankful for your job. Your job is your calling. Your job is your ministry. Somebody says, what's your ministry or what's your mission? I hope you don't say, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I teach once a week for an hour. Is that all you serve the Lord? You're pretty weak at that point. No, your job is your calling. It's your ministry. I go and I help people with this. And it honors God. And you be thankful for the calling. Don't complain. Don't murmur. Number two, work to serve the Lord and not men. This is Colossians chapter 3. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So if you're in a medical field, you treat every patient like they're Jesus. If you're a teacher, you treat every student like they are Jesus. Okay? If you're a mechanic, you treat every customer like they're Jesus. It is the Lord you are serving and not men. Puts a whole different perspective. And then you can share what the Lord means as you build relationships. Number three, as a worker, here's something practical. I think it applies to all ministries and so on. Get there early and don't be the first one out the door. Okay? You can tell what shift people are working, whether they're driving the car slow or fast. If they're speeding, you know they're leaving work. If they're like, oh man, you know, if I get behind a slow car, I have a nasty saying I say in the car sometimes. If I'm behind somebody who's driving slowly and they're in a work vehicle, I say, oh, you must be working because you're driving really slow. You don't want to get to the next job, do you? That's not very nice. But it's probably biblically true there. But to be early, to say, I'll stay serving the Lord. You know, if you're a Sunday school teacher, don't come 10 minutes late. For goodness sake, you know. Throw your heart into it. We have wonderful teachers. Make every day a masterpiece. Work because God, you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Give others all the credit. It's another way of being a good worker. And realize people are more important than a particular task. You can get tasks done by people being strengthened for sure. And I think the whole calling in our lives, whatever we do, is summed up by a song, Casting Crowns. So you, sir, first of all, thank you, Sunday school teachers, Awana people, and all teacher appreciation. Just a fantastic. And you as an example. Prayer for those who serve, not because of who I am. So you're saying that before God. Not because I even enjoy doing what I do. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done, Lord. Not because of what I've done, either good or bad, but because of who you are, that we could serve. Oh, you'll be a happy servant to serve the Lord. If you just serve people or some company, I feel bad for you. Sooner or later, they're going to throw you out like an old shoe. Just ask long-termers. But the serving the Lord, always valuable to Him. And He'll honor Himself through you. Well, let's pray and sing together. Lord, thank You for people who serve so well in this church, 100 strong every week. And the ones who come and sing, and maybe they just sing and sit there and pray throughout the whole service. Their hearts are so desperate or hurting. They're serving the best, no doubt, putting their life in Your hands. And so honor Yourself through Your dear children. Thank You for teachers who do love their classes, their the folks they get to spend time with, and help us to always be teachers by example, to honor Yourself. And thank You for Bill and Carol Sarber. They help us get involved in all these